Well, I have a word that's burning in my soul tonight. I really believe it's going to be a word of encouragement for everyone. I mean, we're still living in COVID-19. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it by now. Are you? I know that you are. I mean, everybody's tired of the quarantine. We're tired of all the things we've had to do. You know, we're tired of wearing masks and gloves, and hopefully we're going to keep using the hand sanitizer for a long time. But, you know, there's a lot of weary people because of that. And so because of that, we need to work together, and this is one of the things that we can do. But I don't know about you, but I'm kind of weary with all that, so I could use a little good news. And tonight we're going to hear a little good news from the Lord. So I want to tell you real quick, I usually don't do this, but I just want to tell you I've got a lot of sermon materials. If you want to go to briancutshall.com, you can get more books. I've written several books and sermon materials and other things like that. You can get that. Also, I just have to say one thing about ISO, because I'm the chancellor of ISO, so I have to say something about our school. ISO is an incredible place to learn the Word of God. Some people, when they think of school, they think, well, I have to work toward a degree. Let me tell you some of the best things about ISO. First of all, you work at your own pace. So it's not like your course is going to time out in 8 weeks or 10 weeks. If it takes you all year to do one course, especially a course like learning Hebrew, that takes a while to learn a language. So you take as long as you want. The next thing that you're going to love about this is you own that course for the rest of your life. If you want to take a crash course in Hebrew now and come back every year and do it, 20 years from now, you can still log on to there. It's still your course. So ISO is a great place to learn. It's a wonderful place. There's a lot of people that come there just to take one course. They're not working on a degree, or they're not working on any kind of certificate. They're just going there to take one course because they want to learn about a subject. They want to download the outlines and watch the videos, and there's so many things that you can learn there. So please take advantage of that. All of you churches out there, please know that we have ISO Connect for you. If you want to do your own school of ministry, we built ISO Connect for you to use ISO curriculum in your school. So it's a great way that you don't have to hire your teachers and order curriculum. You can just do that there in your own school. All right, enough of that. Let's get into the Word of God tonight. I want to talk tonight about facing your future with faith. I want everybody to say that with me. Facing your future with faith. Every one of us are about to walk into a future that is uncertain. Every one of us. We do not know yet what the after effects of quarantine are going to look like. We don't know yet what the after effects of COVID-19. We don't know yet what the new normal is going to look like in the world around us. Well, every one of us have faced a moment in time or a moment in our life that we were not sure about our future. And maybe you're there right now. Maybe this is where you are. Maybe you are the reason the Holy Spirit said, this is what you have to preach on tonight. So I want to go to a lesson in the book of Exodus chapter 33. I'm going to read to you in a moment from verses 12 through 23. So I want you to go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Now, while you're finding that in your Bibles or flipping there in your phones, however you find your scripture, I want you to go there, and I'm going to take you on a quick little journey and a couple of other scriptures, but we're going to end up in Exodus, and that's where I want you to stay. That's the bulk of everything we're going to talk about tonight in facing your future with faith. Now, there are going to be times in your life that God wants to bring you into a new season. Everybody that has gone into a new season, just lift your hand right there. Wherever you are, lift your hand. If God has brought you into a new season, now there's all kinds of reasons for new seasons. Sometimes new seasons are because you have to let go of one thing in order to grab a hold of another thing. I mean, some of the things you have to let go of in life are not all bad. Some of the things you have to let go of are wonderful things, great seasons, amazing things, wonderful relationships. But if I can't let go of some of the things God needs me to let go of, I cannot walk into the future that God has planned for me. So this time of time of moving into a new season is a time of transition, and transitions are not always the most fun place to be in life. Sometimes That new season, that transition, is about a fresh anointing. You can only go so far leaning on your own understanding. That's why the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. What comes after that? He's going to direct your path. Now, if He said He's going to lead you down a road, that would be different. But no, He's going to direct your path. A path is a place that is uncertain. A path is a place that only a few people have worn out a place. It's not like a sidewalk. It's not like a road. It's not even like a dirt road. It's an uncertain place. So sometimes God wants you to quit leaning upon things you used to lean upon, even if they were good things, even if they were wonderful things. Fresh anointing comes through a process, and I don't have time to tell you the whole process, but think about how an olive processes oil. That's the same way that God processes new oil in you. It has to be plucked, which means it's removed from something it really liked because it was attached to it. It has to be pierced to get all of the bitterness out. So God has to get the bitterness out of you before He can get the anointing in you. Your next season, you cannot go into your next season with bitterness in you. You cannot go into your next season with unforgiveness in you. So when God sends you into a new season, He has to pluck you, He has to pierce you, and then He has to soak you. You know what the soaking of the olive is about? It's about water coming in and pushing acid out. The water comes in and pushes the bitterness out of the olive and fills it up with water, which we all know is the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then it's separated from the seed. The thing you thought you were doing, God says, no, I know that's what you thought you were doing, but I have a new plan for you. I have a new station for you. I have a new season for you. So God separates. So the olive flesh is torn away from the seed, and then it's pressed, and that's when the oil flows. And don't be surprised, everybody wants fresh anointing, but no one wants to be plucked, no one wants to be pierced, no one wants to be separated from the seed, no one wants to be crushed, no one wants to be pressed down under pressure until a new oil can flow. But that is the process of fresh oil. That is the process of a fresh anointing. So sometimes what we call transition seems like a very, not a negative place, but a rough patch, a difficult place to be in, because you're changing and you're letting go and you're feeling pressure. Every new season is birthed through pressure. If you don't believe me, ask a pregnant woman. Before you birth something, you have to go through extreme pressure to birth it. And the pressure that you're under now, and I'm talking to somebody right now, the pressure you're under may feel negative, but it may be birthing you into a new season. The pressure you're under may be the very pressure that causes a fresh oil to flow in your life. Don't fight it. Give in to God and let God do His finished and final work in your life. Sometimes new seasons are about a fresh breath of God. God wants to blow a fresh wind upon you. God wants to give you a second wind. You know, I'm in my mid-50s. I don't mind telling you that. And I got to tell you, I've gone through many seasons of my life. I remember when I planted a church. And then I remember when I became a youth pastor. I remember whenever I went to St. Louis and pastored a church for 27 years. And then God called me to build a school and work with pastors around the world and evangelize and preach and teach around the world. Every one of those required everything I'm talking about. Pressure, letting go, pulling apart, finding the fresh oil, getting a fresh wind. And I did not enjoy one single transition, not even one. I did not enjoy one single transition, but I'm so glad I went the distance, because that's where the oil is at, that is where the breath is at, and that is where the fresh direction is at. So sometimes God puts you in a new season to give you new faith. Maybe you had enough faith to get to here, but not enough faith to get to there. And so new faith may be the reason. And sometimes God needs to give you new courage. Have you ever lost your courage? Have you ever, you know, I love this word encourage. It's the opposite of the word discourage. When someone discourages you, you know what they just did? They took away your courage. We say it's not just about making somebody feel bad. It's depleting you from being at your best. When someone discourages you, they just took the fight out of you. They just took the courage out of you. But when someone encourages you, they just put the fight back in you. They just put the power back in you. Encourage means I just gave you courage to go out there and fight. You know who needed more courage than anybody in the Bible? I don't know if he needed more courage, but that's the person that the Bible keeps using the word, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous, Joshua. And the Lord said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know where courage comes from? It comes from the relationships in your life. You know where discourage comes from? It comes from the relationships in your life. You have to guard the relationships in your life because that's where discourage comes from. That's where encourage comes from. So if God is going to give you fresh courage, he may have to give you fresh relationships. If God is going to give you fresh courage, he may have to give you another Peter, James, and John to surround you. He may have to take you into a place where you're letting go of one thing and reaching for another thing. New seasons require fresh oil. But here's what I know. I know that Jeremiah 29:11 is true. But the Lord said, I like the NIV version of that. I typically use the New King James Version to preach from, but I love how this is quoted. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. I want every person listening to me to claim that verse right now. God's plan is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope in the future. I can't even tell you how many times I've laid hands on my own head and quoted that verse over and over and over until I started believing it. Because you're going to go through seasons of life where you're not going to believe that anymore, but you need to believe, and I need to believe, that God has a plan that supersedes your plan. Here's another verse that you never need to forget. It's out of Psalm 139. He says, your eyes saw my substance yet being yet unformed, but in your book they were written the days fashioned for me, when yet there were none of them. Do you realize that in your mother's womb, the Lord saw you and fashioned days for you when none of your days existed? And he followed it up with this phrase, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Now, before we get into our Exodus story, I want you to know and believe this tonight. You may be in transition. You may not know what the future looks like. You may not understand what tomorrow looks like. You may be walking into your new season by faith without anything to hold on to, without anything to look forward to. But understand this, these two scriptures I gave you are for you. God has a plan. Say that to yourself. God has a plan. You may not understand it yet, but God has a plan for you. Stay in his hands and God has a plan for you. And the second one is this, there is a book that has already been written, and the thoughts of God toward you were written about you before you were even born. And God is not a man that he can lie. There is a plan, there is a book, there are thoughts toward you. If you will just stay in the hands and the presence of God, God is going to lead you where you cannot lead yourself.
I just want to say thank you to all of our ministry partners who help us take the gospel around the world and train pastors and leaders around the world. Because of you, we have been able to do so much for the kingdom and expand the kingdom of God. I was able to train over 5,000 church planters just in the country of India alone. We've worked all through Africa as well as Europe. Every year I go to Romania and train pastors, and we've trained hundreds of pastors there in Romania. We've graduated over 3,000 pastors from programs, certificate programs, just in Central America. Our teams and the young men and women that I've taken on the field with me, numerous young ministers who I just want to give them experience and help them to get their feet wet in ministry. We have gone around the world spreading the gospel, and none of this is possible without you. I just want to say thank you for your continued support, whether it's a one-time donation of any size or whether it is a monthly donation that you've decided to partner with us monthly. I just want to say thank you for that. And for those of you that are looking for ways to give to this ministry, because it is a good seed to sow in and we're doing things around the world, here's a screen that would tell you some easy ways that you can give to this ministry. But once again, I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart and from all of those lives that you are changing. It is my honor to be your ambassador to the world.
All right, are you ready to get into this verse? I love this passage that we are about to unpack in the book of Exodus 33. Now, Moses is asking God two questions. He's been in the presence of God. Now, remember, this is at the end of the wilderness experience. He has already seen the fire fall. This is after Mount Sinai. This is after they've been eating manna. This is after the quail. This is after water from the rock. This is after the tabernacle has already been erected. They're already worshiping in the tabernacle. This is after all of those great experiences. This is after the pillar by cloud, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. This is after all of that. Can you imagine Moses getting discouraged after all of that? I mean, think about it, guys. Think about all of the times God showed up. The Red Sea, drowning the army of Pharaoh, Aaron's rod that budded in 24 hours. Imagine all the miracles he's seen. God used him to bring the 10 plagues on the Egyptians. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, hail, murrain, locusts, darkness, death. God used him to bring all of that. God used his rod to turn the Nile River to blood and the river and the streams into blood. Moses is a miracle man. He is a miracle man. He has seen the great signs and wonders of the Lord, yet he's discouraged. And Moses goes before God. He's well over 100 years old now, about 120 years of age. And he goes before God. I'm sure he's getting tired by now. This is what he says. God, will the children of Israel ever get into the promised land? I mean, I think he had a reason for asking that, right? Will they ever get there, God? 38 and a half years. I mean, come on, God. 40 years in the wilderness? Really? We got to Kadesh Barnea and we thought we were there. And then we had to wander 38 and a half more years in the wilderness. 40 years we've been wondering, will they ever get there? Here's this other thing. God, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to these children of Israel? Who is my successor? I'm 120. I can't keep doing this job. Who are you going to send with me? Now, here's where that conversation takes place. In Exodus 33, he says in verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. That's where he's asking the question. You tell me to bring them up, but they never get there. You tell me to bring them to the promised land, and will we ever see the promised land? Maybe you're wondering the same question. Will you ever see the promise? Anybody out there claiming a promise? Is there anybody besides me with a prophecy hanging over your head and you're just believing God that that prophecy is going to come true, and there are days that it looks like it's never going to happen? There are days that that marriage you claimed, it looks like it's never going to happen. That income you claim looks like it's never going to happen. That business deal you claimed looks like it's never going to happen. That church plant you claim looks like it's never going to happen. There are dark days when you say, okay, God, I know you told me to do this, but is it ever going to happen? And that's where Moses is at. God, are the children of Israel ever going to get there? And then he says, he also says in this verse, and this is 33, 12 through 14. He says, but you have not let me know whom you're going to send with me. Now, if we were saying that today, we would be saying it like this. God, I'm 120 years old. Who's my successor? You know, this is how Moses said it in his day. God, who is my successor? I can't keep doing this. You haven't showed me who, and you haven't showed me where. And I've been doing this faithfully for 40 years. Is this ever going to happen? So you see where Moses, the miracle worker, is at. He is now facing a future, and he needs another faith to make one more step. Have you ever needed to just get enough faith to walk out the door one more time? God, I just got to preach one more sermon. I just got to pray one more prayer. God, I just got to sing one more song. Can you give me enough faith just to do it one more time? And this is where he's at. He needs enough faith to just keep going. Now look at this conversation between God and Moses. And I want to go to the screens here because I want you to see this. This is very important. You have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Notice that is past tense. Okay, you said, and that I have found grace. That means it's already done. All right, not that I'm going to find grace, but God, you've said that it was grace that got me here. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Wow, there's a question all of us need to ask God. Okay, God, order my steps with your word. Show me now your way. If I'm walking in grace, show me what I need to do now, that I may know you and that I might find grace. Notice that's not found now, it's find. Now he's saying, God, if you gave me grace in the past, can you give me grace in the future? I think that's a valid point. God, I know what you did for me, but what are you going to do here? This looks like a mess. What are you going to do for me now? I know what you've done to me. He said, and consider this nation is your people. And here is how the Lord answered that conversation. This is a great conversation, by the way. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. All right, Moses, I'm going to be with you. He said, all right, I get that. You're telling me you're going to keep walking with me. Well, I'm kind of tired of this route. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. So this is what God is saying. Now, sometimes we have to put this into the language that we use today. Even though this has been translated from the Hebrew for us, we have to put this in a language that we would use. So this is what Moses is saying to him. Okay, God. Or this is what the Lord is saying to Moses. Okay, I get it. I get your question. I understand your question. Just tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. Okay, I'm going to give you grace. Tell me what you want and I'll give it to you. Now, Moses can ask for anything now. And you know what he says out of all the things he can say? Because God said, ask me anything you want. I mean, what question would you have asked? Ask me anything you want and I'll tell you. Here's what Moses says. Show me your glory. Now, before you get the wrong idea about that statement, you have to understand what he's actually asking for. He is not just asking to see the glory cloud. How many times has he seen that? He saw the fiery cloud in the middle of the Red Sea between them and the army of Pharaoh. He has seen the Shekinah cloud come down in the tabernacle and inhabit the Holy of Holies. God ate a meal with Moses on the mountain on a sapphire floor. There's no sapphire floor on that mountain. Heaven came down to earth. Moses was able to walk into a little bit of heaven and have a meal with Almighty God on a sapphire floor, and a meal that was prepared by angels. He's not asking to see glory like we would say. God, I mean, glory to us would be a little cloud, a little light, you know, a little feeling or something. That's not what he's asking for. Get this. He is seeking the face of God. So what he's saying is, God, I want to see the glory in front of you. Show me what you see. So he's saying, God, I want to see what's in front of you. I'm seeking your face. I want to see what you see. Show me the glory that's about to happen. Show me the glory in front of you. He's saying this, God, I want to see the future. Now notice how God answers this question. And he said, now he has just asked God to see the future, and here's God's answer. He said, I will make my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be compassion. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. And he said, there is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. It shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I love that passage. I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand, and I will pass by, and I will take away my hand, And get this part, because this, it took me years of preaching and years of study and many years of seminary study and research to even understand what he meant. It took a rabbi to explain this last part to me. He said he took away his hand and he saw his back. For many years when I was preaching, I thought he meant his shoulder or maybe his spinal cord. He's not talking about any of that. I'll tell you in just a moment. I want to point out something before I go into this five things that God just told Moses. Notice in verse 20, when he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Now, if we were saying that today, we would say it this way. Well, Moses, you're asking to see the future, but you're not going to live in the future. Do you still want to see it? That's basically what he's saying. You want to see my face? Now, some people would say no man can see the face of God and live. That's what they've taken from that verse, but that's not true. The Bible already told us that Moses speaks to God face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. So he's not telling us we can't see God's face, no more than it's telling us that we're about to see God's spinal cord. He's not talking about God's face, and he's not talking about God's back at all. He's saying here, you cannot see what I see because you're not going to live. So in other words, Moses, you're going to die. Okay, you want to see the future. You're asking to see the future. You still want to see it even though you're not going to live in it. That's what he's basically saying. So here's what God tells Moses about this future that seems uncertain. Here are the five things. First of all, and I got this from the verse I just read to you. I will be good to you. That's the first thing. Can I just stop here and tell you, I can't tell you everything about your future, but this is one thing I know. God is going to be good to you in your future. Now, if I was in some churches, I could say right now, God is good, and they'd say, all the time. And I could say, and all the time, and they'd shout back, God is good. And can I tell you, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. One thing I can tell you about your future is it's going to be good. That's what I know. That's what God is saying to Moses. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen, but I know it's going to be good. Here's the next thing he said to him, I'm going to give you something the world has always wanted and no one's ever heard before. I'm going to explain my unpronounceable name. Now, you wonder now where we get all this from. This is the story where it comes from. Nobody's ever understood it. Nobody understands why you can't say it. Nobody understands my unpronounceable name. But Moses, I love you so much. You can't see this future, but I can tell you the future is going to be good. And just to give you a little guarantee, a little bit of hope, I'm going to explain my unpronounceable name to you. And the next thing he says is, I'm going to give you grace. Now, can I tell you something? If that's the only thing he said right there, you can walk into a future knowing that the grace of God is going to meet you everywhere you go. The grace of God is going to keep you everywhere you go. Then he says this, there's a place by me. God says, I'm going to be at your side. And the final thing he says is, I will give you a guarantee of things to come. I'm going to show you my back. And that's going to be a guarantee of things to come. Let's break this down, all right? Here's the first thing he says. God says to Moses, I know you're worried about your future, but here's the first thing I'm going to tell you. It's going to be good. I am going to be good to you. That word goodness in Hebrew means to go out with joy. Go out with joy. God says, you are going to laugh in your future. You are going to belly laugh in your future. You are going to have love in your future. You're going to have peace in your future. You're going to have joy in your future. Here's what I know about God. If you stick with God, it might look dark today. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Don't give up yet on the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And God is going to come through and fill your heart with goodness and joy again. Here's something you've got to look forward to. Goodness and joy is in your future. Say that to yourself right now. Goodness and joy is in my future. Goodness and joy is in my future. See, when God said, I'm going to be good to you, he's telling you, you're going to go out with great joy. I love what Psalm 23 says, and I preach on this all the time because I just love this verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, get this part. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to camp there. Remember, this is not a valley of death. It's a valley of the shadow of death. No one dies in this valley if they keep on walking. The only way you die in this valley is if you stop walking and give up. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Where? In the presence of my enemies. Remember, we just talked about how you get anointed. You're anointing me. You're feeding me. You're exalting me in the presence of my enemies. My cup is running over. Where? In a valley in the presence of my enemies. And then he says this, and surely, I like that word. That's a good gospel word right there. Surely. Somebody give me a good amen and a good surely. You can say, amen. I got 10 of you in here. Give me a good surely. There you go. Surely, that means it's for sure going to happen. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Can you just see that? God says, wherever you go, you're never going to be alone, because I've got goodness walking with you for the rest of your life. You walk in that business, goodness is going in there with you. You go to work, goodness is going there with you. You get in your car, goodness is going there with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all the days of your life, and you're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, here's the first thing you need to know. God says about your future, it's going to be good. Doesn't mean it looks good today. Doesn't mean it looks good right now. You're facing your future with faith. But what you do know is this, your future is going to be good. And that is something God gave us.
Well, I certainly hope that this teaching is blessing you. Let me tell you quickly about a special offer that we're giving right now at Brian Cutshaw Ministries on two of our most popular products here. One is the last book that I've written called Bows and Arrows. People ask me all the time, if you could only recommend one thing or one book that you've written to read, what would it be? And I always say Bows and Arrows. This is a book that talks about what God is doing right now on the earth and how He's about to use my generation to bless another generation. It's an incredible book on mentoring and just multicultural and multi-generational ministry. Now, we're putting this together with one of our top sellers and most requested items, the top six most requested sermons. You can get both of these right now at a real bargain. So go to briancutshaw.com and look at special offers. And this is offer number HW003. That's hope in the word 003. God bless you.